This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It's time for us to get a little bit more enthralled and enlightened as we talk about 6 days that rewrote the story of post-apartheid South Africa. It was a week that really exposed the tensions of a police service struggling with its modern day responsibility of being reconstituted into a police service and no longer a police force. Because you'll know that prior or before 1994, the South African police were called a police force. But that small little verbal or a link was a shift was made that they should now be called a service, so that it really and truly changes the mindset of how they operate. But a series of events in 2012, August, demonstrated how ill-equipped these men and women in blue are when it comes to crowd control and managing protests. Marikana was also a watershed event that reminded us the importance of depoliticizing industrial disputes to some level that they don't quite escalate, and engendering a very important neutrality within the security apparatus of this country. Those 6 days culminated in the most tragic event exactly 10 years ago on the 16th of August, when arguably, yes, they were violent and agitated mine workers and they were provocative and they provoked the police. But did they provoke them to the point of massacre, leading to the deaths in total of 34 people? Provocation can never be a valid excuse to exterminate dissidents and people who protest and people you don't agree with. But it did happen in South Africa. And which is why in this conversation, our focus is really not so much on Marikana, although we pay respect to those who lost their lives in this tragedy, but really for us to converse about the quality and the levels of policing in South Africa today. Joining us are Aldred de Klerk, who is a policing expert, and he's from the Africa Center for Security and Intelligence Praxis. And we also have Dumelo Mogodiseng, who's a General Secretary of the South African Policing Union. And I want to thank you both for coming through. Hello, Aldred. Hello, Dumelo.
Good morning, Arad, and good morning to your listeners, and good morning, Dumelo, sir.
So what's going to happen is I'll pose a question to each person, and if you feel you want to interject, you'll just let me know, just so that we don't have an untidy crossing of wires on the line. So let's start with you, Aldred, and it's just the simple terminology. That shift from police force to police service was really meant to engender a completely new spirit and approach by the SAPS to policing and to its role in society. Have they really understood the service aspect of their mandate?
By all accounts, no. The sad thing is that somewhere in the course of moving towards policing within a democratic dispensation, we left it to the police to correct themselves and to find their own feet within this new democratic dispensation, where development and the so-called, if I may use the term, upliftment and correcting the wrongs in our society was left to the police to find their own role within that. And we seemingly did not have at the time a police leadership that was capable of understanding the ideological underpinnings of that, the constitutional underpinnings of that, and the value-based underpinnings of that, and therefore reverted back to type. And what we're sitting with is a consequence of the lack of that kind of leadership, both on the political level and within the institution.
Dumelo, let me ask you the same question, because you represent a policing union. You know, South Africa comes from a history of police brutality, a very violent security apparatus, and huge mistrust between the police and the citizens, the soldiers coalescing with the police. And it was something that they sought to change in a democratic era post-1994. And they thought a simple word shift from police service to police force would engender a different kind of ideology in the service. Has it landed?
Thank you, Lerato. Good morning to you once again and to the listeners at home. Look, I must say that nothing has changed. And as today, we remember the loss of lives of the workers. It's a sad day, the tragic event that happened in Marikana, where workers killed each other. And as SAPU, we want to say we are not proud of what happened in Marikana on this day. And we want to reject the statement that was made by the former national commissioner, the social worker, who was a political employee into the SAPS, that he was proud of what the members have done. As the union, we must say that it's a sad moment that must never, ever happen in this country where now the workers are killing each other. And as SAP, we want to say we are very much sorry. And we are saying that the spirit of the workers continue to rest in peace in Marikana. Look, nothing has changed. Politics have killed policing in our country. As I've said, that deployment of social workers to come in and lead the police, where now we see the structure that it is not stable. Every commissioner that comes into leadership, they change. They bring in generals. Generals are like constables in the police now, where everyone who comes in, they bring their new structure, where they lose focus into policing. There is no strategy that is being implemented than to concentrate on their own personal feelings, where they are giving each other ranks to occupy that high level ranking. Because we are sitting in a situation where now, every time we change national commissioners and we change all the divisional commissioners. There was I think it was public relations which was made by the minister, where the minister issued the panel of experts recommendation about public order policy. Mm. Up until today, I can say to you, nothing has been implemented. Nothing is happening in the police. It is just tug of war between the politicians and the police, where the politicians want to capture the police. And I can say this without fear or favor. Where was crime intelligence where the workers were killed? Where is crime intelligence today? Because as we speak today, there is not even divisional commissioner for crime intelligence. How do you expect that the workers who are on day-to-day basis, where are they going to get the information? Because of crime intelligence does not have the head to can lead.
Yes.
Crime intelligence was captured by the politicians.
Ndate Tumelo, you've taken us way, way ahead, and that's fine because that is a context. But before we get to the politicization of the police in this era, I just wanted to know, as members of the police, as servicemen in a police station right now, do the police, both male and female, in their blue uniforms, understand what it is to serve a community versus to enforce the law?
I can proudly say that the members really understand what is to serve the community. Remember, Lerato, the police, the men and women in blue, they are the uncles, they are the family members. They know exactly what is needed in the families and in the societies. They are very much competent into servicing the societies.
Okay, great stuff. We'll continue with this conversation in a short while, just taking a breath and catching our breath.
Thought-provoking conversations with Lerato Mbele, 9 a.m. to midday.
We're reflecting on policing in South Africa after the harrowing events of 10 years ago, the tragic killing of 34 more community of Marikana just outside the Lonmin Platinum Mine exactly 10 years ago. It was on this day, the 16th of August, 10 years ago, where a series of tragic decisions, bad decisions, led to some tragic outcomes. And today we are reeling from the shock of that event and also really wondering what is the competence and aptitude of South Africa's police in general, because there's so many instances of protest where civic and civil policing and crowd management is needed, and we don't really see the police doing a stellar job. So to that end, Aldred de Klerk, let me ask you, after what transpired 10 years ago, do you think the police underwent a process of introspection, kind of a review of their processes, going back to the drawing board to study what crowd management systems look like? that you don't just walk into a situation and fire live rounds, that there's many other things you can do, like using water cannons and tear gas and charging people and creating police lines to push back and quell the crowd that's provoking you, that there's many ways to do this thing before you actually cock a weapon.
Well, it was incumbent upon the panel of experts, of which I was a part, the unions was a part of that, to actually help the police through that process of reflection. I have to admit that there was significant resistance at the beginning because the police felt that they were, being blamed across the board for what was happening, maybe rightfully so. And it took a while for us to engender trust before we could have an open and forthright conversation. At that point, when you get to have built the trust, built the understanding of what the project was about, it is then that the project got effectively stopped. Because we don't think putting people in a room for a few days is going to get us there. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we had the conversation. What we don't tend to do in South Africa, and as has already been said, a report has been handed to the minister. The report was 2 years late before it was made public. We had one minister, to his credit, that said that this report needed to be a public conversation, where we have a colloquium, where we understand as public and we engage the findings and the underpinnings of the report and its recommendations. And then the public holds the police and Parliament accountable for the implementation of that. Mm-hmm. That never happened because we seemingly don't have a process of one minister handing over a program mm-hmm. to another minister, and it continues.
Yeah.
Every minister that comes in seems to do his or her own thing.
Yeah.
So we dropped the ball on that one. But what we don't do, Rolato, is that we don't take ourselves seriously as South Africans. Public money was spent. A fairly comprehensive and cogent report was written. And then we turn elsewhere in the world to go find answers from other countries somewhere in the West. Ain't our ideas good enough? Isn't our mm-hmm. contestations good enough? Who understands mm-hmm. our context better? Mm-hmm. Who understands the history, the values, the philosophy, and the ideology that underpins us being mm-hmm. Africans and South Africans? It is us in that room that had those tough conversations, and unfortunately, we didn't do it.
Let me ask very briefly, what were some of the recommendations on better crowd management, riot policing tactics that should be employed in the police and training for the police in managing these kinds of volatile situations in future?
Well, there was a number of recommendations. Is that we need to distinguish, as you rightfully say, crowd control and crowd management. The issue of the use of force was definitely high up in the agenda. And the issue of less than lethal weapons and looking at force strength, and that is the actual strength of the public order police outfit, ORS, POP, Public Order Police Unit, I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
So the recommendations extended to the fact that we needed a structured command, a command based on international conventions where you have your operational commander, your overall commander, and then your commander in the prop jocks or nat jocks, for example.
Okay.
That there needs to be clear tolerance level set, that police need to follow their own prescripts because, in essence, their prescripts is in line with modern-day policing. What we don't tend to do is we don't tend to take ourselves seriously and actually adhere to our own prescripts. Mm-hmm. And I would contend that that is because the people who's tasked with leading the police and the commanders as such, because there was a huge emphasis on training the commanders, the people who lead platoons, who guide, who issue instructions, that is where the emphasis right. was. And for them to understand the difference between crowd management and crowd control. Mm-hmm. And the underpinning of that was communication and negotiation and facilitating the right to pub, right. To protest.
Something else also happened to Melo very briefly, which was as in the aftermath, as people were investigating what happened, who's to blame, even the commissioner at the time was sort of put on suspension just so that, you know, the process could be neutral. What subsequently happened is the police closed ranks. I read a beautifully written op-ed in the Daily Maverick, which just shows how the police started to hide evidence. They preferred to conduct an internal investigation. They weren't particularly cooperative with processes like the Farlam Commission of Inquiry later on. They weren't willing to finger the culprits within the police service. And it's not just unique to this situation. There is a sense that the police do a lot of wrong things and then they protect each other from sanction. So is accountability something that the police value?
Thanks, Lerato. We've got institutions in this country that can make the police to account. We've got IPIT, of which we have been saying as Sabu that IPIT is a toothless dog. The IPIT, they were supposed to make sure that the police account to each and everything that happened in Marikana. Anyone who happens to be on the wrong side of the law, that individual must account, because no one has a right to commit crime and is not held accountable. So IPIT was supposed to make sure that they do what they expected to do. But Lerato, look, as SAP, we want to emphasize this issue of politics. Politics have killed police in this country. And I'm saying this because of, like now we are experiencing the Zamazamas in this country.
Yeah.
Where now the minister go on public in business. We don't understand when the minister is going to release the national commissioner to go to office and do his job.
Yeah, okay.
We don't understand if General Masemola now is a protector of the minister or the General Masemola.
We will talk about politics in a second. We still want to talk operations. So you're saying that there are instruments for holding police accountable, but those instruments are ineffective?
Yes, there are those instruments, like I mentioned, IPIT. IPIT, they are the one who must probe the police on whatever has happened.
Okay, and then there's a question that I want to ask you before we go to the news, which is from I Am Sir Law, who says, do you as police understand what crowd management, crowd control systems look like, and that you don't have to resort to violent responses, that there's many ways in which you can exert your authority as the police without becoming violent and threatening? Do you understand that?
We do understand, Lerato. The question is to say, is the police resourced? We are part and parcel of the panel of experts. One of the recommendations was to say, give warm bodies to POP. Up until today, we have lost members due to COVID. We have lost members to retirement. There is no empowerment into POP. There are no resources. The usage of water cannons, they are not there. There is no training that is happening. There is no beefing up of this structure. So the issue is to say, as much as we expect the police to perform to their utmost best, are they capacitated? And as a union, we can say they are not.
Okay.
We are now informed that 4,000 out of that 10,000 that went to college will go to POP. But 4,000 on top of what? Did we measure how many we have lost?
Okay.
It's just a drop in an ocean. So POP up until today, I can safely say, it is not capacitated to deal with crowd management in this country. South Africa is a very violent country that needs the POP to be more training and more warm bodies to that unit.
Thanks for that view. We continue with this conversation after the news.
Tackling the challenges of our time, one conversation at a time. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
We're in conversation with Aldred de Klerk and Tumelo Mogodiseng, the General Secretary of the South African Policing Union. Aldred de Klerk is a policing expert from the Africa Center for Security and Intelligence Practice, Praxis. And the reason we're having this conversation is we know that we're looking at the crime statistics rising in South Africa. Women are not feeling safe. A whole lot of contract crimes are on the increase, from rape to murder to hijacking and attempted murder. And it just seems as though the police are out of their depth. And there isn't a better moment to talk about this than to reflect on the events 10 years ago, on the 16th of August in 2012, when police fired live rounds in an effort to quell a protest of mine workers in Marikana. And people say that probably was the beginning of the end of proper policing in South Africa, because it was just a moment where everybody realized how overwhelmed, unskilled, and poorly trained South African police have become. And the question now is, are we still with that problem, or are efforts being made to fix it? So, Aldred de Klerk, Ntate Tumelo, in almost every response, wants to refer us to the politics. For him, that's really the bugbear. That's the Achilles heel of why operationally the police are struggling. And this is why I want to bring this issue in, is since the Marikana tragedy, and more specifically since the resignation of Ria Piecha around 2017, South Africa's had 5 national police commissioners, including her. 5 national police commissioners in 10 years. But if you really want to be more pedantic, it's 5 national police commissioners in 5.5 years.
Indeed. Part of the recommendations of the Marikana, or the panel of experts following Marikana, was in fact to put down very clearly articulated criteria and competency criteria for a national commissioner and every other single commissioned rank within the South African Police Service. We also, in line with the National Development Plan, 2030, and 2030 is around the corner, and we haven't taken the NDP seriously, and that is a guiding strategic document for us as South Africans and for the change of the way governance is done in South Africa. We haven't taken it seriously. So part of the thing was to lay down the criteria. Now we had an appointment of General Masemola, and I have a lot of respect for the man. We still, as South Africans, don't know on the basis of what he was appointed, what he was set out to do, and how he will be judged. And this is critical because in line with the kind of question you have as South Africans is who gets appointed, how do they get appointed, and get appointed to do what? Mm-hmm. And the NDP also goes further to say not only should there be clearly articulated competency criteria, job performance stats, mm-hmm. and a way to judge performance, we should also subject every single person with responsibility at a senior rank to a lifestyle audit, a competency audit, and to ensure that they have that there's an integrity audit done. So they're people with integrity, they're competent, and competency should be the founding or the underlying principle for the appointment of anybody. And we should move from efficiency, where we're concerned about rands and cents, to where the police are effective. And this is where the politicization of the police's and actually government has come in this country. There's an emphasis on doing the right thing in terms of bureaucratic procedure rather than doing the right thing that effectively will change the lives of all South Africans people and keep them safe. This is part of the problem.
Aldred de Klerk, there's also another issue here. Politicization is one, but the corporatization also of the police is another. And I'm not even saying it's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
And I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing. So this is the dilemma that many politicians have faced in the country in trying to find the best sort of police commissioner is... It seems as though the quality or the caliber of a police commissioner needs to be somebody with aptitude and operational. So in other words, somebody who is a police officer. And yet at the same time, because the role is somewhat administrative, you want somebody who does understand the rands and cents, the budgetary management, the allocation of resources. And so you want somebody with a little bit of a management or corporate experience. And so this is why they've dithered with people coming from the private sector and diplomacy to be a police commissioner, then going back to someone who is operationally a policeman to be a police commissioner, and yet the ideal candidate needs to have sort of both skills.
Absolutely. The job is fundamentally political because you do have to navigate the political terrain. You do have to be a diplomat, and you have to be a shrewd leader who can bring out the best in whoever serves with you. Because this idea that we put a national police commissioner on a pedestal and expect him or her to encompass all the competencies that we have, it's probably not somebody that we're going to find as you so clearly have said. But it needs to be somebody who can garner the respect of those he or she works with and make sure that they can do the best job so they become a facilitator and an enabler and lead rather than command. And ensure that they can actually, as you say, traverse the political and the public to be able to ensure that the service in the end is actually doing the right job. But it's also somebody, and this is where we may be dropping the ball, we assume that person should know everything about operations. Yes, they must understand the challenges of the operational environment, and they must be able to support and listen to those in the operational environment. And their emphasis should always be on the constable rather than on the command. And this is where we're actually missing the boat, because we're not actually placing the emphasis on ensuring a competent constable to do the job.
Ntate Tumelo, let's get your views here. And firstly, your assessment of the police commissioners, five in a matter of 10 years. And as I said, if you want to be more pedantic, it's actually five in a matter of 5.5 years. So there's a real sort of a throughput of police commissioners. They don't stay.
Yes, Lerato. And I'm gonna go back to the issue that I've been saying, why these commissioners don't stay. And I'll just mention the last one of General Stolle. There was a court judgment about the grabbers, which we believe that General Stolle could have been held accountable. But the president of the country chose to settle with the national commissioner and release him. The question is, what is that the president of the country settled on with General Stolle? What about that indictment or the judgment to say General Stolle failed on his duties? So if we fail to hold those generals at that level accountable, and the politicians comes in and settle with them, this thing is causing a very serious moral low in the police, in a sense that the boots on the ground, they are asking themselves to say, are these generals above the law? When it's us, we are expeditiously being fired, dismissed from the service. Why are they not held responsible? Mm. We are seeing the minister who's all over in policing, establishing custom illegal mining unit, of which we are saying as SAPU, there is no need to call for an illegal mining unit, because we used to have specialized units. Yes. We have been calling for re-establishment of this specialized units. Mm. One is modern robbery. Mm. The detectives who are from modern robbery understand the modus operandi. They will be able to deal with the issue of murder in this country. Right. The murders are high in this country. It's like we're a country at war. Mm. The illegal mining, we used to have diamond and gold. Mm. Diamond and gold unit, these detectives, they will go for the kingpins, because those members who are now digging down there, they are not the real culprits, because they are selling for someone. Yeah. So you need to close the market for those miners at that level. We used to have a unit called SANAP that deals with drugs. Mm-hmm. We're having a serious challenge in this country of drugs. So there is no political will to reestablish mm-hmm. this unit, because we are told Madame Robbery, that was an apartheid unit that used to torture the politicians. But the fact of the matter, as a police officer, I can tell you that those units were very successful, and this country needs these units as soon as yesterday.
Yeah. And look, you know, just to remind people of the statistics, why this is such an issue of national importance. I think last quarter's crime statistics say that the murder rate in South Africa has increased by 8.9%. So whatever the number was, it's gone up by 8.9%.
Correct.
Car hijacking, 13% increase. Murder, attempted murder, 3%. And of course, we know sexual violence and rape, 13%. So on all the indices, on all the metrics, the police are failing. And this is the question I want to ask you, Tumelo. Do you think throwing money at the problem is going to help? Because in this year's budget vote, the police minister asked for something in the region of 100 billion rands for a budget, which is then meant to augment everything. And what would that money go towards? Would it be operations, improving training? Would it be salaries? Would it be fixing buildings? What would they be using that money for? Because frankly, I don't think there's a problem with giving the police more money if it means they're going to do the job better. But we've got a trust deficit in the police at the moment. We don't believe they want to do the job better or can do the job better.
More budget must be given to the police to re-establish this unit. Remember, some of these detectives are soon going to exit. So you need the skills of those detectives before they exit, because almost all of them, they are old, but they were sufficiently trained. Some of them went overseas to get this training. We need firearm unit to be re-established. Firearm are all over in this country. So those units were very effective. So we need more money. The minister must go to parliament and influence the budget, not for salaries, but to re-establish the unit. Mm-hmm. The salaries will be dealt by the minister of DPSA, mm-hmm. of which I want also to put on record that we reject the 2% that the employer is offering the public servants. It's an insult. Right. So the money to the police will help to re-establish this unit, build capacity, build competent policing in this country that will focus on crime. Crime statistics are being issued. We also believe El Sapu that it's a public exercise. Why the minister every 3 months must go and issue crime stats? After that, there's nothing happening in between.
I'll tell you what frustrates me, and this is personal, is in any other country and the countries I've lived in, if you're a police minister and you present crime statistics and they're consistently bad, you resign. And if you don't resign, you get fired. In South Africa, you just continue as if nothing ever happened.
We have been saying this to the president of the country to say, President, can you please take out Minister Kell out of the police because of the crime stats, it's indictment that he is not working. If crime is high, the minister, who's the accounting officer, politician, that's the minister. Yeah. But the minister just is like he's going around calling him Jesus now, creating more problems for the national commissioner.
And we're not saying he's a bad person. We're just saying, obviously, he's out of his depth in this particular portfolio.
We can say the minister is bad for policing.
Yeah.
Because whatever he's doing now with public invasions, for an example, Deep Sloot, when the public, they protest there, you go and put Amabere, it's not a permanent solution. After 10 days, you take them out. What happens to that society?
Yeah.
Anything the minister takes Amabere somewhere, you are creating more problems for policing. The national commissioner now is going to inherit problems as a result of public invasions. Where now the national commissioner could be sitting in the office and strategize and make sure that they implement and reestablish this unit and start to work.
Eldred, I just want a quick comment from you just now that because Deep Sloot has now been mentioned, and we saw it last week in Krugersdorp. We've seen it with regards to taxi violence in the Western Cape, the July unrest. The police seem to have a strategy of knee-jerk reactions. They're never proactive. They're always reacting. And when you go to these communities, they say, we've been telling the police about the problems. We've been telling them about the local crime. We've been telling them about the harassment by gangsters, zamas. We've been reporting illegal immigration. They've done nothing. And now that there's this huge outpouring of public anger, now they're here showing up in force. But they haven't been doing this. And had they done their job, we wouldn't be here. So it almost seems as if things always have to reach boiling point for the police to respond effectively.
Absolutely. We respond in times of crisis. And what we've done as part of where we started this conversation, the emphasis is supposed to be on protection of society, protections of individuals, and protection of vulnerable groups in particular. And then it also is supposed to be on prevention. In line with the fact that police are getting more money, in line with the fact that we need specialized units, we need to take seriously the National Development Plan that also says we need a two-tier system within specialized occupations. In other words, if you're a detective working on organized crime that basically besieges communities at this time, you're supposed to be, your career is supposed to be in organized crime so that you can understand how they work, you can build the proper networks. And you should not be worried about being properly remunerated, properly recognized, and properly rewarded for your services rendered to the country and to the institution. Yeah. By being able to stay in detective services because it's a role and not a rank. Right. So this old policing idea that people get rewarded by going up in rank, the NDP says that has to stop for certain occupations like forensics, detectives, intelligence. All of them should be rewarded. They should be cultivated because you don't grow a detective overnight.
Yeah.
We can throw 1,000 more people, 10,000 more, 100,000 more people at the police. They ain't going to be growing overnight. It is a career. It's an apprenticeship. It's mastery, it's building relationships, and then learning to work with local government, learning to work with other institutions of state, and more importantly, learning to listen to communities.
Yeah, professionalization.
So it's that aspect of professionalization that you just mentioned now.
All right, we've got many callers on the line, and we'll take your calls in a short while. Mike, Prince and Tabo.
You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
Indeed, my name is Lerato Mbele. We're in conversation with Dumelo Mokgodiseng, who's the General Secretary of the South African Policing Union. Aldred de Klerk as well is with us, the policing expert at the Africa Centre for Security and Intelligence. What are we doing? We're reflecting on the quality of policing in South Africa, not least because crime statistics are high, but also because it was exactly this day 10 years ago where some of the most tragic series of events unfolded in this country, really bringing to the fore this issue of the caliber, the quality of policing and police servicing in a democratic era. Thabo, you've got something to say.
Lerato, let me tell you what we have in this country. Lerato, throwing money in a relationship with a serial cheater, one of the problem. Let me tell you what we have in this country. We have government officials who are holding key positions with fraudulent qualifications. So now we've got police officers who have criminal records. Imagine giving a criminal a gun, a police car, and a uniform. What do you expect that we should do? So here we have a government that does not do vetting. We have a government that does not even care. So the issue that we are talking about today won't be solved until we look at the criteria that is being used to hire our police.
Thank you for that view. Thank you for that view, Thabo, and just the corruptibility of police as well. Mike, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say to Mem Lerato, you can say whatever you say, you can go whatever you get. There is no way. South African police are meant to arrest, not to protect. That is why you find that the people who are living under the bridge in the city, those people during the night, they're the ones who are harassing people, who are doing such a bad thing every time, now and then. They can even, you know, just imagine when you can even feel free when you are at work. Yeah. Coming back home, we find that there's a guy who always sitting at the gate and stuff. Yeah. When you try to call police, they'll just tell you that, tell them, keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on them. This is a useless thing. You can say whatever you say. You can go wherever you go. They can come in Power FM and them, explain whatever. They're just talking nonsense.
Okay. Mike, we get you. So people need to feel safe and they need to be confident that the police can keep them safe. Prince, hello.
Asilerato and your guest.
Yes, sir.
Mine is one of two things that I want to highlight. Mm-hmm. Our police, and in general the police forces all over the world, are a gangster. And this gangster basically serves the mafia. And our mafia, in this instance, is our political heads who basically wield this gangster's to their whim. And in essence, this mafia basically is serving your corporates. This has been the situation from since before Marikana, and it is still continuing to date. You actually see it in service delivery and so many other instances in how these people are actually deployed.
All right, Prince, thanks for that view. Xolani.
Lerato,
yes,
good morning, and your guests. I'm a former police high-ranking officer. Mm. I was in one team with General Dramat.
Mm.
Most of us are not in the police today because of politicians that wanted to tell us what to investigate and how the outcome should be. So the danger that we are facing is the politicization of the police force. It is not right. It will never be right that politicians should meddle to telling even a general that this is the outcome. And I sympathize with Fani. Fani will not last, Lerato. Fani will not last in the position that he is, because we all know that he is not the guy for where he is today. He's going to take a fall very soon.
Mm.
I tell you, he's going to take a fall very soon. What we need is for people to rise and tell the truth.
Okay, so a former police officer, Putulani, there saying he served with Lieutenant General Anwar Dramat, who used to be the head of the Hawks. So a few things are coming up here. Aldred, let me just get your view quickly. Do you believe South Africa is a mafia state where there's a confluence of politicians, senior ranking police officers and criminals and faction battles and all sorts of turf wars going on, and the rest of us are just spectators thinking we have a police service, but what we actually have are syndicates running the country and policing the country?
Well, I think we probably do have elements of that, because otherwise we wouldn't have had the state capture, and we have had the systematic erosion of the capability of the state, which we do have to restore. So there are some urgent things that need to be done, and public perception is probably closer to the truth than the kind of analysis that I can provide. What we do have, though, is we still have legacy of our police policing the underclass. So class and race do tend to conflate in South Africa, and this is something that has to urgently be has to be addressed.
And a final comment from you, Tumelo Mogodi Singh. You know, when National Commissioner Begicele was commissioner, before he was minister, he came in with this idea of emboldening the police, giving them ranks. So police today are called lieutenant general, brigadier, etc. Some people were uncomfortable with that, saying it's kind of militarizing the police. But others said it's very good because it reminds policemen that they are strong and that whilst they serve, they are also law enforcers. And there's this idea that the police have forgotten what it is to enforce the law. What would you like to see happening? Because we want to see the law enforced, but we also want to see fair policing, kind policing, community policing, a good balance as citizens.
Thank you very much for that. I think what we want to see happening is to say the morale of the police is low. The police are earning less. They are earning peanuts. We want to see the minister talking to the national commissioner to agree on promotional policy. You can't have a member sitting in one rank for 20 years. 15 years sitting one place. There is no growth. Our members' morale is low. We want to say the minister, please go and influence budget so that you can motivate the morale of the members, so that the members can be motivated as well as they are servicing the workers. And also, we want to strongly reject the 2% again, which is offered by the employer, as we are now in the middle of negotiations, to say that's an insult to the workers, to can offer 2% to the public servants. Yeah. And we want to call all the federation to unite, to say we have learned the hard way when the employer walked away from an agreement, to say we need to be united and make sure that we fight for what is best for the workers in this country, so that the public servants can be motivated to can service our society.
I love the use of the word public servant. You know, we think of policemen and women as men in uniform with their guns and batons, but in fact what you are is a public servant. You serve the public. You make the community feel safe. You are emboldened to enforce the law that protects and reinforces the constitution of this country, and you are accountable. I thank you so much, Aldred de Klerk, for
thank
your
you
time
much.
From the Africa Center for Security and Intelligence Praxis, and Tumelo Mogodi Singh, the General Secretary of the South African Policing Union.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.